Welcome back to an all-new episode of Point Blank from AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick and I are enjoying a well-deserved respite this Friday night. I'm on a little bit of vacation. Rick's probably in bed, being that it is already 8 o'clock. So we did the classic punt move, if you will, put together a collection of our favorite moments for the show over the last 3 years. It's loosely going to be called Best Of. You can be the judge of that. So hope you enjoy it. We will be back Wednesday in our regular slot, 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com. Till then, hit us up at Asylum Football on Twitter. Let us know what you thought of the show.
Did hear one interesting story.
I'll be the judge of that.
Down in, apparently a lot of rich people don't like to wait.
Oh, of course not.
So down in Disney World, for $130 an hour.
Okay.
You could rent a handicap kid.
Shut up. That's not true.
Yeah, serious as a heart attack. You can rent a handicap kid.
How do you arrive at the price? How much is your handicap?
That's what they charge, apparently.
Is it Disney World charging this, or is there some entrepreneurial guy in the alley behind Disney World giving you a handicap?
Some service that's supplying handicapped people. And
they what I'm saying, do they have like a kiosk in Disneyland to rent a handicap? What do they call it? Is there a name? There's got to be a clever name to it.
I don't really know.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Finish your story. Go ahead. I got excited.
Go down that road. But apparently you can hire a handicapped kid and pretend like he's part of the family. You go up to these lines that are 2 hours long.
True.
They put you right in. You wait a minute or two, and you get on the ride with a handicapped kid. And then you go to another ride. You wheel them around for $130 an hour.
Wait, for $130, you got to push the kid?
Well, probably.
I'm not doing that. If I'm paying that kind of money, I also get somebody push them for me.
Well, you're saving 2.5 hours of wait time.
Well, that's true, but I think throwing another $50, give me a guy to push them. That's what I want.
Well, I don't know. I just find that interesting, and, you know, maybe with your bad leg, I was thinking maybe you could be some handicapped father down there.
All right, Rick. I wasn't going to admit this on the air, but I believe I did make the announcement back in December when I bought these. So we will talk about, obviously, you talked about you raised three wonderful kids. Well, I've got one kid, one daughter. You know, we've talked in the past. She gets way too much run on this show, but my child's affinity for one Taylor Swift. And if you remember when I made the announcement that I had bought those tickets, where I drove all the way to Cleveland.
Did you go to the concert, or when is it?
Listen, Rick, it happened a couple weeks ago. I didn't bring it up on the last show. I wasn't going to call myself out. But if we're talking about indignities, that's what I'm going to do in terms of handicap. So I thought I was out of it. I thought I was good.
You didn't put sunglasses on your kid and act like she's blind or something, did you?
No.
Okay.
That'd be a good move, though. Although I don't think you need special seating for being blind. I think a concert's more of a hearing.
Well, you can't hardly take a deaf kid. I mean, so.
I think you can. It wouldn't have near the same effect. But a lot of sensitivity on this show today. So I thought, you know, being Father of the Year, I bought the tickets, and then after I suffered this horrific injury and have heroically plowed through it the way I have, I thought that, you know, good news. So I did all that, so I get the Father of the Year points, but now I don't have to go because clearly I'm handicapped. I can't walk upstairs. You know, we're in the upper deck. I can't get up. My leg's out straight. I got this brace on. I can't bend it. I think I'm out. Well, unfortunately, it turns out, after a little I almost choked to death. A little research, not by me, mind you. Then all you have to do is show up at the arena with your tickets, walk up to guest services, and they will provide you with handicapped accessible seating. So not only did I suffer the indignity of driving 2.5 hours to Cleveland, and you know Cleveland, Rick, and I apologize to any of our Cleveland listeners, but if the world ever needs an enema, Cleveland's where they're going to put the hose. So I drove all the way to Cleveland, had to hobble up on crutches to guest services, and sit in handicap accessible seating with these kids in wheelchairs who apparently, when they're not at Taylor Swift concerts, are being rented out at Disney World. And that's where I sat, a grown 35-year-old man, and watched a Taylor Swift concert. Probably the worst indignity I've ever suffered in my life.
Serves you right. Now, this is the one that's really cool.
Okay.
In 1917, a letter that Winston Churchill wrote to Admiral John Fisher was the first recorded article okay. of using OMG.
He used, no,
yeah.
really? And
yeah.
that's what he meant by it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So for all you texters, all you LOL and JKers out there,
yeah.
what are you waving
Speaking
your finger
of
at
which,
me for?
You wanted to talk about three little letters that were sent to me.
Oh, yes, I forgot. It is a fun story. So let me pull up the tweeters here, Rick, pad for me a little bit, because, of course, I can't find it. So for any new listeners out there, which you probably all are, because anybody who's heard the show once is never going to listen again. So anybody who's listening for the first time, Rick's, well, let's just say you're old, Rick. And so
I don't believe I'm old at all.
His first, well, you don't believe it because you can't remember how old you are at your age. So his first foray into social networking, as we call it here in the whatever century it is now.
You can't even talk in complete sentences. You're talking about me being old.
I'm stupid. You're old. There's a big difference. So Rick's first foray into social networking, Facebook was a gigantic flop, but seems to have taken to Twitter. He handles the Twitter for us quite well. And so he likes to like every other douche on Twitter. He likes to throw his little barbs out at everybody. And so he sent a tweet earlier last week that all he says is, here we go again. Isn't it sad when the best QB on the Jets was cut from the Jags and now retires? So obviously in reference, Rick, to David Garrard, I suppose.
Yeah,
right? So
obviously.
So apparently there's a young man out there, and I'm going to give him, in case he's listening to the show, I'm going to give his Twitter handle out there if you want to give him a follow and check him out. It's at JDW1313 on Twitter. I don't know. Are you supposed to do that? It's public, right? You can do that. So apparently he's a big Jags fan. Well, I know, or a big Jets fan, excuse me. I know what he meant, but there's the point of the story. So his reply was GFY unfollow. So I got to tell you, I have no idea this is going on. And Rick and I work for the same company, but in different locations is how we came to put this show together. And so we have an IM feature, obviously. So we chat throughout the day about the show and about things going on. And then I get an IM from my octogenarian friend here that says, some guy just sent a tweet that said, GFY unfollow. What does that mean? So I told him, and if you don't know what GFY is, look it up, but I think anybody listening to this show knows. So Rick's response says, oh, that makes more sense. I thought he meant, and tell him what you thought he meant, Rick.
Yeah, I thought it meant good for you.
So my friend here couldn't understand why the guy would say good for you and then unfollow him. He turned his life upside down.
I just have an innocent mind, I guess. I don't know. I guess
our friend Ty Miller on Twitter
yeah.
also jumped on and helped Rick out. And Rick, again, was taken aback by what this young man said. So, so please, if you're on Twitter, at Asylum Football, hit us up. Rick's man in the Twitter 90% of the time. Throw all your LOLs and JKs out there and just watch his head explode. And we'll report back on this each week after during the show.
Ah, good for you.
Good for you.
Interesting story.
All
came
right.
across. I wanted to get your take on
Ooh,
it. Because I'm sure you're really going to love this.
Oh, all right. So you're setting me up for something here. I like that. Lobbing me a softball, I think.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. A Florida couple.
Thank you, Florida.
They retired from their management jobs to care for the poor.
I'm out already.
Huh? Well, no. I mean, listen to this now. Debbie and Chica Jimenez openly admit feeding more than 100 people who are homeless in Daytona Beach. Okay?
All right.
Well, they are, and I have to find exactly how much it is, but anyway, in all, there it is. One of our homeless friends said that Wednesday is just not going to be Wednesday anymore, Debbie Jimenez added. We were given 10 days to either pay the fine or tell them we're going to court. We're going to court. The police don't like it, but how can we turn our backs on the hungry? They're told they are not allowed to feed homeless people.
They're not allowed.
They're going to get arrested.
For feeding homeless people.
Yes.
What law are they violating by doing
that? Well, here it is. You know, she's 52. She's a retired auto parts store manager. He's 60. He's a retired construction worker. And they opened up a ministry called Spreading the Word Without Saying a Word. And basically what they do is they have people come in, and in fact, one of the guys that was, they have actually people that help them, but they have like a, they go to a park and they bring a bunch of food and homeless people come there and they feed them. They basically have a picnic.
All right.
Okay, well, you're not allowed to do that.
No permit, I assume? Is it some form over function local government crap?
Well, the funny thing, in all, police officers ticketed six people, including four volunteers who helped the Jimenezes on Wednesday. One of them, a man in a wheelchair who recently escaped homelessness because of these people, to pay it forward, pay back. The fines levied by authorities total $2,238. we as a city have spent millions of dollars to turn that park into a place for families, kids, and dog lovers. We have an ordinance that says when people want to perform acts of kindness or charity, they must coordinate with our local social service agencies. So in order to be kind, you have to call a social service agency and coordinate it. They were told the previous Wednesday that if they come back there, they would be cited and they could risk going to jail. There is a segment of the homeless population that is homeless by choice. I don't want to impugn them all, but some are homeless because they are sex offenders, substance abusers, and bank robbers. That's why we ask Good Samaritans to coordinate with our social service agencies, because they know who needs to be served.
That almost has to be fake. I mean,
it is not.
I don't know where to start. There's so much there. You know, I never understood this stuff. You need to get away from the homeless a little bit. But there's so many rules like this out there. Every once in a while you hear the story. There's the big debate going on. Or do you have a constitutional right to flash your lights at oncoming traffic to warn them there's a cop there? Because every now and again somebody gets the wood shampoo over that one. And then you see these dummies getting arrested all the time. Now, I'd never do this, you know, but I don't have a kind cell in my body.
Do you want to hear a little bit more?
Oh, I do. I really do. Please.
Okay, this is Chico Jimenez is quoting. You know, we've been down there a year, and the police have been around, and not one of them has ever said one word. This time, the police said, we are creating more homeless people by feeding them in the park.
Wait a minute.
We are enabling them to stay homeless by giving them one meal a week. Does that make sense to you? You know, that's what he's saying. It's so crazy.
That's to imply that there's people with homes. They're doing fine. Maybe not a lot of money, but they got a place to live. And they're saying, you know what? This apartment's great. But if I move out and I live on the street, I can get a free sandwich from Mr. Jimenez here every week. So I am now homeless, and I've created this other problem. This can't be. That is so fantastic. I don't even know where to go with it. It's wow. Wow. And it just goes on and on. That's like a 4-page story you have in your hand there.
It's incredible. It's you know, and they talk about, I mean, it just goes on and on. The guy, he actually videotaped the event, and it's just a long line of people, and they're putting food on the plate, and it says chicken patties, you know, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, onion, greens, beans, sausage, macaroni, you know.
I might stop by.
Normal
and
stuff
that
like that.
Sound bad.
And he shows police officers using a cruiser hood to write down the volunteers' identifications. One notable moment on the film captures a Daytona Beach police officer telling Jimenez, you've got to have permits. Yeah. And it says, each week we celebrate somebody's birthday. We have over 100 people every week. It's always somebody's birthday, Chico said. On the tape, you can hear us singing happy birthday as a group. You know, but they're not allowed to do this. And then
And then the police officer accuses the Jimenezes of staging a permanent birthday party, adding, "You can't just call it a birthday party. You still need to have a birthday." Where does it end?
How do you ever defend this in the court of public opinion? This is why, Rick. Here's the lesson you got to take from this. I don't pay a lot of attention to politics. I got into it for a while, and it makes you nauseous after a while. But the only thing I do pay attention to is my local politics. Those people can turn your life upside down. Because you put boneheads, like whoever's in charge of Daytona Beach, in charge, and this form over function crap gets made. So here's what they told you. Here's what's stuck in my head. So you go to the social service department, and basically you hold a bum fantasy draft, you know, through them, and they tell you, all right, this guy's money, you can feed him. This guy's a bank robber. How many bank robbers? He's not a very damn good bank robber if he's homeless at this point. I think the bank robber
and
would have
And they still know
cash.
He's a bank robber.
Yeah, why is he still hanging out? So you got pedophiles just hanging out, according to these people. So you're telling me they got a file on every bum walking the streets of Daytona, and you got to go in there, and it's got to be a draft. I wonder, do you line them all up, and is it like picking your dodgeball team? Is that, you're all right, you get a sandwich. You beat cheeks, pal. Yeah, I know you. You get out of here. What the hell is... Now, here's what it is. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of money in Daytona Beach. They don't want these bums in the dog park. They probably got fancy dog runs, and they got these horrific women with that look just like Bruce Jenner, and they have them, and they got their stupid little dogs in their $1,000 purses, and they don't want these guys on Felt Street out there roaming around ugly and up the place. See, if he was feeding them in some back alley, no one would care about this, but he brings them out in the park where the rich white people are. You can't have that. See, you can't have that. So
well, there's some dog
that's
lovers
what it's
out,
really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog lovers and the children, because the children can't see bums. You know, you don't walk, drive down any street in America and see this. I probably should quit calling them bums, but I'm not that sensitive. Because at the core, I still find this very funny. So what's Jimenez going to do? Are they going to keep doing it? Because what I would love to see is for them to actually be thrown in jail for giving a chicken sandwich to the... Because these people, for whatever it costs them to get back out of jail, the story, they'll be millionaires for the story. And then they can just... What they ought to do then is have like a bumapalooza. You know, they'll get all this money, they'll sell this story, and just bring them in from all around the country and have 10,000 people chilling out, singing happy birthday and eating chicken patties.
Well, maybe they could bring in Ozzy and have it like Oz Bum Fest or something.
I would attend that. I would. I'd eat the sandwich. I'd do. I'm not volunteering. I'm not doing anything. I had a bad experience with a homeless guy one time, so I'm not always all that
well,
sensitive.
Well, see, that's why
price.
You don't feed them.
Well,
you could have
yeah, they're treating them like
experience.
Stray dogs. If you feed them, they won't go away. That's what this guy's saying. They tell you got that dog running around in your backyard. You feel bad for them and want to throw them a bone, but you can't do it because they'll never leave. It's the same thing with the bums. You just start throwing chicken patties out willy-nilly to former bank robbers and
pedophiles,
scoundrels and ne'er-do-wells, and then they never go away. So they're probably thinking, all right, they're in Daytona. If we don't feed them, eventually they'll run off to Sarasota and hope somebody feeds them there, and they'll just keep moving. It's like a bum circuit looking for sandwiches.
What's going to happen with all these bums there when spring break comes?
Oh, forget about it. You know, they need to tell you that. No underage drinking. This isn't Cancun, and no feeding the bums. You know, those are the two rules you need to know. So, kids, you know, I know we're real big amongst the college students.
So while you're getting hammered and taking
right.
all your clothes off, don't throw the bums
yeah.
any potato
yeah.
chips
no,
or anything.
No, don't do that. You can flash them. You can let them do body shots off of you, but don't give them an apple. You can't do it. We won't put up with it here. Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you coordinate with the social services.
Yeah, 2 weeks, that's a good point, Rick. 3 weeks a year, Daytona Beach, it becomes pretty much perfectly legal to binge drink on the streets and twist your shirt over your head like a helicopter. But if you give a bum a banana, you're going down, pal. Yeah, I mean, this is the world we're living in right now. This world isn't for me. This is why my goal in life is to get enough money to get independently wealthy, to buy 10,000 acres in the slap middle of Wyoming somewhere, build a 12-foot fence around it, and you'll never see me again because of crap like this.
I just came across a story here. It's rather disturbing, I must say.
Okay.
I mean,
I like disturbing. I do disturbing.
They in a suburban Detroit garage, they found a mummified body of a woman.
Oh, my.
In the back seat of a Jeep. And they say the woman may have died as long ago as 2008.
What preserved her?
I don't know. Mummified. Maybe they know how to do that. I don't know.
She was deliberately mummified.
I don't know.
Oh.
It says investigators are puzzled. There was no sign of foul play, and the key in the ignition was in the off position. The fuel tank had gas. I mean, nobody showed up to visit this person for what, 6 years?
Well, that's true, too. You talk about unpopular. You talk about the anti-Kim Jong-un.
That is just very odd.
That's weird. Yeah, nobody noticed her missing? Because I think if somebody had reported her missing, at some point in the last 6 years, the police might have checked out the garage. Just a hunch. I don't know where they live. Maybe they don't have the best police force.
Well, it says
there.
The family of a woman whose mummified body likely was found in a suburban Detroit garage had tried for years to find her. Well, apparently she must have just disappeared and they didn't know where she was.
Wait, was this not her garage?
I don't know.
Seriously? You couldn't find her and you never looked in the garage? you kidding me with this? Seriously?
I don't think it was her garage, I guess.
Whose garage was it? Who didn't go in her garage for 6 years?
No, it was her. It was her garage.
And so they're pretending like the family was looking for her, I'm supposed to believe they never looked in the garage.
Yeah, the body of the woman who may have died as long as 2008 was discovered last week in the rear seat of a Jeep in the attached garage. at Farron Copp's home, which is the person's name. In Pontiac, Michigan, 30 miles north of Detroit. She feels, Paula Logan told the AP, she feels 100% sure it's her sister's. But
why didn't you look in there 6 years ago?
I don't know.
All right, well, let's just say something you wouldn't normally keep in the garage, Rick. Let's say your wallet. You can't find your wallet. All right. Yeah, tear the house apart. You can't find the wallet. And you call work. And you call the grocery store and you call the gas station. Have you seen my wallet? You look in your car, you can't find the wallet. Now, the garage may be the last place you'd think it would be. But at some point, before you cancel all your credit cards, you might take a walk out to the garage and take a look for it, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
All right, so your mom goes missing at her house and you tear the house apart thinking, where could mom be? But you don't go in the garage. Well, I don't understand this
her
story.
Her sister said, quoting her sister, this Paula Logan, "It's not like we were estranged. My sister had died. I tried to get in touch with her," Logan said. "My mother passed, too. We tried to get in touch with her. The phone just rang, rang, rang." That doesn't even make any sense.
What the hell was paying a phone bill for 6 years? What do you mean the phone rang and rang? All right, at some point, the bills ain't getting paid. You know, Ethel ain't showing up for Thanksgiving. Something is amiss with this story. We're going to have to follow up on it. Let's get Paul next week. Let's get Paula on the show. Yeah. I need to find out what's going on here. Something's fishy.
I don't know if I want to get Paula on this show.
I think I want to talk to Paula.
Let's get back to sports.
No, for 6 years, your sister is missing. You don't go by the house, or if you do, you don't go in the garage. You pretend like you're making frequent phone calls. So either someone's paying the bills, there's something right here. The house isn't in disrepair. Who the hell's mowing the grass? Nobody noticed something ain't right here. You know, even if you don't talk to your neighbors. Like, Rick, I don't speak to my neighbors at all. If I've noticed throughout the summer.
It's more like they just don't want you to.
Well, that's a fair point, and there's good reason for that. However,
if anybody's listened to this show, they know why.
But if you notice, you look over there, and all of a sudden the front yard looks like a hayfield, and the shutters are falling off, and you notice you ain't seen the car go in or out every now and again. You don't think you get curious anyhow? In six damn years, you don't think you get curious?
Never saw a for sale sign in the yard.
Now, I don't put my nose in other people's business. I really don't. But at some point, maybe at year two or three, I mean, something ain't right here. Something's amiss. Yeah, maybe I'll ask somebody about what's going on.
Even people like us who pay attention to nothing but ourselves.
Right. It's all about me. Don't get me wrong.
After 2 or 3 years, you would think, gee, I haven't seen this person in a while.
What happened to Ethel? She needs to mow the grass, and the house is always dark, and the roof's falling in. What's going on? You might get curious. Especially if it's your damn sister. Yeah. She won't answer the phone for 6 years. She must be mad at me. Yeah, the heck with her. I don't understand. We're
going to
follow up on this story. I'm not done with it.
Okay.
I'm exhausted after that. What else do we talk about?
I don't know. I'm deaf. I've been screaming for the last 15 minutes.
I did get a little excited there. I can't lie.
Okay, I'm going to give out. How can I not give out a game ball to Matt Schaub?
I think you got to bring that one up.
The guy just pulled into second all-time yards per game behind only Sid Luckman, and 527 yards.
Sid Luckman.
Oh, jeez. That's just pathetic.
What do you mean it's pathetic? Who's Sid Luckman?
You call yourself someone knowledgeable about football.
In the Super Bowl era.
It's just hideous.
Well, he played in the 40s, so you watched him at the polo grounds or something, and I'm supposed to know who he is.
Everybody else does on television, even ESPN, the NFL Network.
They pretend
they
do. Those guys are younger than me. They don't know who Sid Luckman is. So who's Sid Luckman? Come on.
He was a quarterback.
Well, I figured
I believe
much.
He played for the Bears, I believe.
Movies that you don't even know.
I didn't say
was
I
it
knew
on in black
in
and white?
History.
Was it on TV when Mr. Luckman played?
Couldn't tell you. I wasn't alive.
And if it was, you weren't alive? Oh, God, that doesn't count at all. Congratulations, Matt Schaub. You are the top-rated per-game receiver.
Well, no, he tied somebody, which you don't know that either.
Who'd he tie? Boomer Esiason, or did he beat him?
He beat Boomer.
All right. So he was right ahead of Boomer.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
All right, let's move past.
Even the chat room says he was a quarterback.
Well, I know that. I know.
Oh,
obviously,
there you go.
He wouldn't be on that list if he wasn't a freaking quarterback. I understand.
Everybody knows he was
a
quarterback.
They don't know who he was, though. They know
sure
he was a quarterback.
Yeah, of course they do. I believe he played for Chicago. All kidding aside, I think he's a Chicago Bear quarterback.
Well, good for Mr. Luckman.
Yeah.
I'm happy
and
to hear
that
it.
Wasn't the issue. Second all time is the issue, and you have to turn around and try to nitpick into some stupid argument.
It was a simple question, and you and all your
sock and a sock.
You and all your cronies in the chat room had to attack me.
Ooh.
because the chat room has become the domain of Rick Briggs. It's Rick Briggs Central in there.
Now you know what Flieger thinks of you, don't you?
Because you won't let me in the chat room, because apparently when I go in the chat room, it screws you up or something, is what you're telling me. I think you're using it to turn our audience against me. Instead of Flieger in Briggs, it's Flieger versus Briggs.
You do that on your own.
So you have used this as an opportunity to alienate our faithful listeners against me.
All you do is open your mouth, and that's what happens. That size 13 starts choking you.
I rather enjoy the chat room. However, you guys have all become simpatico, and I become persona non grata is what's happened. And it's your fault.
What'd you do, jot those letters down and try to sign them out? You tried to spell P.A. Jets fan, probably.
Well, I don't know how this all happened over Sid Luckman. Wow. So I think it's time, Rick. I think we've covered anything worth covering, and most of the stuff we covered wasn't even worth covering. I think it's time to move on. I got a little story. I had something strange happen to me this week. So as you know, I am fit as a fiddle. I'm a beast. It's cut 'em up season, and I am taking full advantage of that.
How fit is a fiddle?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I figured an old guy like you would appreciate that. I didn't think you'd be busting my hump over it, but it's cut 'em up season. I'm getting ready. It's the off season for me. I got to get ready for the season. So I'm out for a jog earlier this week. What's so funny about me jogging?
What, did you put out the cigar here a couple of minutes ago? I kind of doubt you're doing a whole lot of jogging.
I'm a complicated fellow, Rick. That's all I can say. So anyhow, I'm out for my jog, and there's this beautiful place near my house, this big hill, big majestic hill, and I'm running at the end of the day towards the sunset. And I run up to the top of that hill, and I get there, and here's what I hear. It's clear blue sky. The sun's starting to set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is what I hear. And a big puff of smoke, just like in the freaking movies. You wouldn't believe it. And there's Moses. Moses himself. At least I'm pretty sure that's what his name tag said. Moses is standing there. And he's got those stone tablets in his hand, if you believe that.
Did he have like one of those little stickers?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, those blue ones with the white.
What did he look like?
He looked like Moses. He had a beard and he was wearing a dress, you know, like all those guys looked back then.
So there he stands, and he's got them big, heavy stone tablets in his hand. So they
what, are you getting tired of carrying them, or what?
Apparently. I don't know what he's doing with them. So he brings down those. So apparently Moses has been sent down on high, and he comes to me, and he presents to me. Here's what he says. He says, Rick, and I don't know how he knew my name, but he says, Rick, I need you to spread the message. I've heard the Asylum. Jesus is a huge fan of the Asylum podcast. He's a huge fan. And he says, what you're doing is great, but you're missing something. He said, as you know, there are 10 commandments. But where they got it wrong, see, back when they wrote the Bible, they were carving stuff in stone. And they weren't real bright back
then.
That's
why he's holding the 10.
Yeah, half of them. Yeah, half those guys didn't even graduate from high school. So they screwed up the translation. So those commandments, he said, throw those away. And he presented me with the 10 commandments of fantasy football. And Jesus himself apparently has come down to Briggs and I to present those to you, and so being the pious man that I am, we're going to do that right here on the air.
That sounds like an excellent idea. And of course, he tweeted or he texted me immediately.
Oh, of course.
And I came, I come zipping over to his house. Of course, I was in my truck. Well, I don't run.
I couldn't carry both of them, you know, so we needed to
haul
those
my wheelbarrow
out of there, you know. Yeah. Moses is jacked, man. He's just got one of those in each arm. He's like Hulk Hogan.
Kind
of looked like Hulk Hogan, actually.
Did you ever see the...
Maybe it was Hulk Hogan.
The Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
where Moses, he comes out with the three tablets.
Yeah.
15.
And one of them broke. Yeah, those five don't matter. And there's only 10 commandments. And forget all this stuff about stealing and false idols. That was crap. I don't know where those guys got that. That was just some hippie made that stuff up.
No, this is about fantasy
football. No, and this is what it was all about. Yeah, who knew God played fantasy football? I think you can tell it came from heaven, and here we go. So, Rick, I'll let you start it out. We've got the tablets right here. We're going to get this on the website so we can get pictures of those stone tablets.
Let's see if we can get one of these up here.
So, from...
There it is. All right. Woo. Boy, that's heavy.
That is heavy. Rick's sweating. He might stroke out. So here it is. From heaven, from on high itself, the first command. These are in order of importance. The first commandment of fantasy football. I don't know why that keeps happening.
You sure that wasn't Vince Lombardi that come up to you?
Pretty. He wasn't wearing a hat.
Well, it was hot.
Well, still, I think he always wore the hat.
Well, that little Russian
thing. Yeah, and he didn't have that. You know, there's a scraggly. It said, hello, my name is Moses.
Well, that's true.
It's hard to argue with that. Unless he was screwing with me. I don't know.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we're going to read the first one here.
This is a terrible bit.
Let's get the. All right.
The first commandment.
First commandment of fantasy football. Thou shalt draft running backs early and often.
I don't think you can argue whatsoever with that. We've been telling you that, and if you weren't listening before, now Moses himself has commanded, has decried that you draft running backs
and
early.
It's our
and
duty
often.
To let you know.
So that's what we're doing. And I think that's an obvious one, no doubt about it. Look, and we've had conversations this off season. The league's switching. It's turning. It's a quarterback-driven league. They're throwing the ball more. You've got Calvin Johnson putting up these cartoonish numbers. Here's where I'm switching. Maybe I sneak those guys into the first round. But what I'm telling you is I think what that commandment should say is you better have three running backs coming out of the sixth round of your fantasy draft or you're going to be in trouble. I don't care. The numbers always do the math. It always pans out. Maybe it doesn't have to be your first round pick. If you can get a Calvin Johnson, a Fitzgerald, some of these guys are putting up these ridiculous numbers, but you better load up on running backs.
I agree. And that's just plain English right there. You know, a lot of these things, you can talk in allegories and this, that, and the other, but this is plain English. You better have about three out of the first six picks running backs.
And maybe seven. Maybe I'll let you go to that if you slip a Gronkowski or a guy like that into your top four or five rounds. But it's got to happen. We'll talk about that a lot more. You're going to be tired of hearing about that. I'm going to be tired of carrying these damn tablets around everywhere we go, but it's what we're going to have to do. So I think that's about all we can say about that one. You can't argue with that. So let's move on to the second commandment of fantasy football. That's creepy. Ooh. We're inside.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's coming
about. Sun shining. Thou shalt not draft a kicker or defense before your last two picks. Thank God. That's ironic. Thank God. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing I hate more than to be sitting there. What's an average draft? 15 rounds, I think?
I would say so.
Sitting there in round 11. Some guy's got his roster pretty much filled out, and here comes Steven Guskowski. What are you doing? There's position players out there with value.
here's the point. It doesn't matter who your kicker is. Really, it doesn't matter who your defense is. They almost always pan out in the end. And if you look at overall fantasy points from a defense, it's never a good defense. Explain that one to me, but it's not. So take it from Moses. Do not draft a kicker or defense before those last two rounds of your draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get the guys, you know, of course, they used to these guys would reach up and grab Jason Elam because he had because he had this big foot, or Janikowski.
Vinatieri for a long time, yeah, and Vanderjagt. I saw Vinatieri go in the ninth round of a draft. We should have thrown that guy out of the league at that point. But.
Yeah, and then there are the other guys that did the proper draft, and they get their John Caseys or Morton Andersons.
Same guy. They're all the same. They're all the same guy. And if one doesn't work out, guess what? You can cut him. And there's going to be 18 others of them out there to pick up. But some are going to be better than others. A kicker is never going to win you a fantasy game.
You got it.
Once a year, one guy, who's a guy in Tennessee that year, kicked 7 or 8 field goals.
Baronis?
Yeah. Once a year, one guy will do that. Don't draft him high. It doesn't matter. He'll win you 1 week. It's not going to do anything for your season.
All right. So that brings us to commandment number 3. There it is again.
Jeez. These are getting uncomfortable.
Thou shalt not auto-draft.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that one.
Yeah. Can we even count all the ways why not to auto-draft?
Before we go any further, we were talking about our friend Trader X at Fantasy Trade 411. That's a mouthful. But speaking about his baseball league, I happened to, when I joined his baseball league, had an emergency at work the night of his draft and actually had to set mine to auto-draft. So I've been guilty at this, so I know of what I speak, especially in terms of fantasy baseball. So to our friend Trader X, I'm sorry about that. But let's move on to the reasons why you shouldn't make the mistake I did. And I've been in leagues where the entire thing was auto-draft. You want to talk about awful. But let's go to the reasons why, if they're not obvious, you don't want to do this.
I've been in that league once.
Yeah,
you know,
one time, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, then if we're going to count the way. Okay, number one, you can rank your players, you know, by positions or even by players. However, it's not the same as a live draft. I don't care, even though the players that you have ranked, say you're top 25 and, you know, 20 of them go, it's going to take your highest rank out of what's left of those five and so forth. You know, it's set up as good as it can automatically.
Yeah,
it is, you know, I'm not bashing it that way, and in a pinch it'll do you, you know, at least get you a team. But, you know, you just cannot. Okay, number one, the live draft is half the season.
Yeah, that's
okay.
I would argue 75% of the season.
Yeah,
that's the only fun you have. Otherwise, it's work, and you want to kill everyone.
It rots your gut the rest of the year. So I mean, you might as well have fun picking the guys you want. And this actually links into another one of the commandments, which
don't read ahead to the commandments.
Oh no, I would never do that.
There's your warning.
But do not auto-draft. Draft.
Yeah.
Be a live draft guy.
Number one, the online draft thing, it's still not as much fun. But look, you need to be making these decisions. Because here's the thing, the auto-draft will never factor in. Value. Somebody's always making a dumb pick. First of all, it takes that away, too. It almost brings everybody to even. Because even the dummies are getting the top-ranked players if the draft goes the way it should.
Exactly.
So you're completely taking value out of it. Plus, the one I was in, the one time I did it, how many times have you've done it once too, you'd have a team with 3 kickers, 1 running back, 5 tight ends, and 3 kickers. And so then you didn't want to take the time to get together or the time to even sit down and draft, and then you all got to sit down and spend a week putting together, making the trades necessary to everybody to even have legal rosters to start the season.
It's just hideous. I mean,
mainly it's just hack. And apparently from what we're seeing now, it's downright ungodly as well. And
well,
you don't want to do that.
But in a live draft, every person there is participating.
Yeah.
They have to make a pick.
And they have a chance to do something stupid. The computer's not going to do anything stupid.
And even if they're stupid, they're making a pick. You get these clowns on auto drafts, half of them won't even rank players. So now it's like Rick says, some guy has 3 kickers and 3 tight ends.
Well, that's ignorant.
Yeah.
So, well, they're not auto-draft.
And I'll tell you what, even if you set your rankings as you should, and I argue 10 out of every 12 aren't doing it, if you set it as you are, if that's the way your numbers fall, you'd have to, who can do that math to make sure you don't wind up with multiple tight ends? It's impossible to do. You're going to wind up with two kickers or three tight ends or things you wouldn't normally do. You know, it's just awful. Like Rick said, three quarters of the fun of the entire thing is the draft and busting chops there. You know, I can live with the online draft. Obviously, as we progress in this, you're playing with people from other states and other countries. Hell, who knows? So you're going to have it that way. But at least even then, you have a chat room. And like, I think my biggest argument is you take away the ability of stupid people to do something stupid, which I really like. That's my favorite part of the draft. Rick bashes his face off the microphone. Well, thank you.
Thank you indeed. Hey, I'm done with auto draft. Let's
All
move
right,
on.
Let's move on. The fourth commandment of fantasy football. Thou shalt not overdraft Homer team players. That doesn't sound like godly talk, but I like what he's getting at.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely godly talk. All you homers out there, just because he plays on your favorite team does not mean he's the best running back, wide receiver, or whatever, and it's not going to behoove you to take him when there's better players out there.
Yeah.
For example, I can remember 2 or 3 years ago, Larry Fitzgerald was on the board, and we all know the bald guy that's not in our league anymore
yes,
walks up
do.
And dicks Hines Ward.
Hines Ward, yep.
You know, well, guess what? That's stupid.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Here's the advice you can take from this. What? Don't be that guy. Assuming you're playing in a league, everybody from the same area, so chances are likely that you're all fans of the same team. Plan on coming out of that draft with no one from your team because they are going to be overvalued. These guys are going to be taken a round higher than they should be in most cases because of the name recognition. Because what happens when you get about the fifth round and 8 of the 12 who are stupid haven't heard of any of the other guys, but they've heard of, in our case, let's use the Steelers as an example. These guys are going to start going off earlier than they need to. There's going to be more value for you out there as that happens. So follow that commandment. Do not draft a guy just because he plays for your home team. Don't avoid him for the same reason, though.
Right. And on the same token, don't avoid players, you know, a rivalry team. I know people.
Well, I've heard that. I will never have a Raven on my team. I have heard that before.
Well, buddy, I'm going to take Ray Rice anytime
I
can get him.
And I will root for him, too, while he's playing the Steelers. I don't care.
Right. So, you know, it works both ways. You treat everything's neutral. You got to compartmentalize all your homer feelings and misgivings towards other teams. You just get rid of that in a box when you draft fantasy players.
Both ways, good and bad. This is your fantasy team. There's money at stake. There's pride at stake.
Okay, we're done
I
with
guess
that
it's
one.
Time to move on. Okay.
Number five.
The fifth, halfway home.
Thou shalt not honestly speak of potential players to other league members.
Hold on a minute now. So you expect me to believe that Moses gave me on a stone tablet the direct opposite of what they told us in those old ones? That okay.
You questioning this?
Yeah, I am a little bit. Everybody settle down. Everybody up there. I think he just told us to lie. Is that true? Lie.
No. He said, thou shalt not speak honestly.
Wouldn't you thus be speaking dishonestly?
But it's not lying.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like saying...
you can tell you've been married for a long time.
It's kind of like saying, gee, I really like LeSean McCoy, when in essence I want Arian Foster.
Okay, well, but you lied.
I do like LeSean McCoy.
Well, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow, you're good at that.
See? So... I think what they're saying, don't tip your hand to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't say, well, I'll tell you what, if I get the shot, you know, coming up and you got this clown beside you that's drafting right before you and say, well,
yeah.
If it comes up, I'm going Larry Fitzgerald. Well, guess what? All of a sudden he walks up and takes it.
Yeah, if nothing else, thinking if that would be the tiebreaker, thinking if he needs a trade at some point. And let me tell you why I like this one. And it's actually, you guys should all be thankful for this. This is what has –
This is what spurred this show to be created. Rick and I worked together several years ago, and we talked so much fantasy football, didn't do any work, obviously. We talked so much fantasy football that at our drafts, less lately because I think we both learned, but those first couple of years, we would get, we're talking sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth rounds. We would write each other, when it came time for Rick to pick, I would write a pick down on a piece of paper, fold it. When he got back to the, before he left the table, when he come back, I nailed it every time, and he's done the same to me.
Yeah, I think we did.
And there's a lesson learned, and I knew if there was a guy I wanted, I might have, and I know where Rick would value this guy, and I'd jump ahead a pick before I should be picking a guy because I knew Rick was gunning for him, and he'd do the same to me.
Yeah, and not only does it kind of screw your draft strategy up, now you're throwing guys that are probably better potential values to other people.
Just to screw your buddy over, which we all want to do desperately.
Yeah, but and that's exactly true. I can remember sitting there writing down, I think, four in a row.
Oh, we
and
we
I
were
nailed
on
it.
Roll.
It was like the fifth, sixth, seventh round, something
yep.
like that. Right in a row, just nailed them all. He walked back, and I turned a piece of paper over, and we just laughed. It was ridiculous.
And what it does, and it hurt both teams. And so I think to the point of this commandment, it is, you know, obviously, especially sleepers. This is a big pet peeve of mine, and I've made this mistake. Not with you, but there's a buddy out there. We'll find out if he's listening because we'll hear back from this. Ben Tinelli, if you're listening to this, you need to get a hold of us just so we know. But him and I would always get together and discuss sleepers. And you know this, Rick. If I mentioned a guy, guaranteed that prick would draft him about three rounds too early just because he got the name from me.
Watch your language.
Oh, you can't say that? All right. Sorry about that. But, you know, these are the things you want to do. Keep some stuff. The only thing you don't want to get, and I'll tell you what, I've done this. I've hoarded podcasts before as well. I'm telling you not to do that. God would hate that. But there are some I listened to that I didn't tell anybody I listened to or I felt I was getting good information. I want you to do the opposite. Everybody knows the information we're putting out there because we're such huge stars. Everybody's going to hear it anyhow, so you can't hide it.
And that's the disadvantage we have doing this now.
Yeah, we're telling everybody what we're going to do all the time.
Right.
Because we got to flap our gums for an hour a week, yeah,
we'd
hour and a half
ourselves.
An hour and a half each week once the season comes. So, yeah, and that's, you'll find out, and I've heard more established radio guys and podcast guys mainly who do this that say when they get into leagues, especially with listeners, they struggle because the listeners think the same way they do. They adopt, you know, we all adopt the same strategy. You may listen to the show because you tend to agree with our philosophy on things. So.
And I still think that this commandment here, it's still practiced even by the big guys. That's what we talked about that on the last show. Where the guys, well, I see Adrian Peterson going in the fifth round. Well, no, you don't.
No, yeah, that's a damn lie.
Yeah, no, you don't.
If you were drafting, you see him going to the fourth round, or the third round. You take him in the fifth round.
Right.
In the fourth round, I'm going to go ahead and grab him. Yeah, exactly. I think it's a good point. Those guys probably do hold something back as well. We would never hold anything back. We are way, way too
much class.
Yeah,
that's
it. We're way too classy for that.
Right,
so I think we beat that one to death. Moving right along here, we're up to number the sixth commandment of fantasy football. Thou shalt rank players on your own and draft accordingly. So thank you again for that one. And
that
I think
awesome.
We had to think about this one a little bit. You know, as with all things, it's a little nebulous, but I think Rick has figured it out.
The
theologian that he is.
Do not drive down in your station wagon to the Quickie Mart.
And, you guys will never understand that. We can't say it on the air.
And buy yourself a fantasy magazine.
On the day of the draft.
On your way to the draft. Even a day before. And turn up their rankings and sit it in front of you. And then think you should draft your team the way they have them ranked. You have to study. You got to pay attention to what's going on. You have to know people that are injured. You have to know situations contract-wise, holdouts, this, that, and the other. Maybe the condition of a blocking fullback on a team.
Yeah.
You know, that can certainly impact value. But you have to draft who you want. You can't sit there because, you know, XYZ magazine has him ranked. Just for an example, say you really want Jamaal Charles. And maybe you're second or third pick or whatever. Am I going to sit there and say I would take Jamaal Charles this year, the third pick overall? No, I wouldn't.
No,
however, if he is who you want, I mean, and you just had this man crush on him, don't let him go because you'll never get him.
No,
you will
not
get him in the second
back.
Round.
No, he's not coming
so
back.
So you might as well take him. It, you know, just our buddy Tinelli with Slayton, Steve Slayton that 1 year after that big year in Houston.
Best year ever.
He took him fifth round or fifth pick overall. He wanted the guy, and he lived and died by that team, and hats off to him because he had his strategy, and that's who he wanted. Now, if Slayton would have stayed healthy that year, he may have had a great year. So, but you got to, you know, you're walking a razor's edge anyway,
yeah,
so you might as well get who you want.
And I think all first thing to go back to your magazine point, look, I buy 12 of them. If there's one out there, I must spend $300 on those things.
Oh, they're fun to look at.
They're pretty. They're shiny. There's all this information.
And everyone's different.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. They are being written, typed, and printed now. It's May. What did you say? It is May 25th?
Right.
They will be available in stores within the next couple of weeks. I will buy every damn one of them. But there is no information in there that will be valuable to you become the third week of August when you should begin drafting. That's number one. Number two, to Rick's point. If you got a feeling, this is what it is. This is gambling. Let's be honest. This is what fantasy football is. This is gambling. If you got a gut feeling on a guy, don't let your magazine talk you out of it or your ESPN ranking. How many guys have you watched? Maybe first or second round will go a little bit. And how many guys in are just crossing the names off a list? Either something they printed out at work or something out of that magazine, just right in order. They decide what position they want, highest ranked player. Don't do it. Do some rank. You don't have to be as obsessed with it as we are. Yeah, Rick and I have showed up the drafts with binders full of different draft scenarios.
Oh,
and what. You know, we don't even set one player list. We set them on based on draft scenario.
Good case.
You don't have to be that good, but rank your guys. Know what
right.
you want. Rank at least the top 20 at every position, something like that.
I remember the year, I think it was 3-4 years ago now. I can't remember. It was the year after Rodgers took over for Favre. Remember his first year they had a real crappy year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was that next year, and we were arguing back and forth, ranking teams, and I kept saying, man, Rodgers is going to break out. Rodgers is going to break out. Ah, you don't want that quarterback. I went way off base because I wanted Aaron Rodgers, and I grabbed him, I think it was like second round or something like that, and he just exploded.
He went nuts. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't do that normally. I may this year with the, you know, the way the quarterbacks are emerging, but this is a while back where it was Brady and Breeze, and you didn't think about quarterbacks.
No, exactly.
Really. But that was the thing. I just had this gut feeling. And nobody,
go with it.
Nobody,
that's the point.
Yeah, nobody had him ranked way up then, you know, like they do now. But I just went with it, and I was right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a very important commandment. So I think it's probably getting about. Oh, yeah, there they are again.
Ooh,
way up to number seven.
Number
I believe.
Seven. Thou shalt value every pick as if your season depended on it.
Absolutely. And I think it doesn't take a theologian to understand what that means. Don't be so drunk by the eighth round that you don't care who you're taking anymore. And how many of these other commandments does this tie into? That's when you start making your homer picks, and that's when you start just going out of your book. I'm telling you, everybody, save for injuries, getting a fantasy stud in the first two rounds. After two rounds, unless you're really stupid or there's an injury, the teams are all even. Flip a coin. If there was a 12-sided coin, flip it. Your season's going to be won in the seventh through the end of your – well, up to the defense to stick with another commandment. Up to where you take your defense, seventh to the 13th round, that's where you're going to win your league.
That's it. How many times – look back if you've been in a league, you know, over 4 or 5 years. Look back in your league history. Hopefully your commissioner keeps it or it's online, the history of it, whatever. You know, just like Rick said, they got them first two or three studs. But you look down through the middle of that line or lineup, how many guys are replacements? He may have gotten in the 8th, 9th, 10th round or something that got plugged in. You know, just the case last year, Matt Forte goes down, Fred Jackson went down. You know, those deep guys that roll them right back in and they hardly miss a beat.
If they got the next guy, next man up, as our boy Mike Tomlin likes to say, next man up.
That's it. That's who wins your title.
And I think, you know, to use an example, since we only talk about ourselves anyhow, the fateful year of 2009 when somebody at this table beat somebody else at this table by 1.04 points in the Super Bowl, I happened to draft Jay Cutler as my quarterback in the 7th or 8th round or something that year. I picked up a young man by the name of Brett Favre in the 13th round just as a... Thank you. Just as a backup, and as Cutler continually crapped the bed and Favre continued to put up the numbers in that huge year he had in Minnesota, and that was the difference. That was a difference in my season and a difference in that game.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, to toot my own horn, we were in the Super Bowl together. I, on the other hand, picked up Sidney Rice, who was with Minnesota
mid-season
that year,
yeah.
Off of where? Off of waiver wire,
yeah. He almost beat me on that fateful night because every point that Favre put up happened to go to him. So
that's true.
That was
I guess we're moving on.
God doesn't want us reminiscing any longer. So thou shalt not. This is a good one. Hold on. I'm sorry. Thou shalt not draft players on IR. Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that ties back into making your own rankings and you're buying your magazine. How many times have you done it? I can go back to the year Jamal Lewis blew out his knee.
I've never done it, but I've been in a league where
Year somebody does it, and it's in the first four or five rounds. I go back as far as Jamal Lewis being drafted in the first round the year he blew out his knee in training camp. Don't be that guy, please. That's all I'm asking you. That's the theme. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, and that just goes right back to paying attention. And you can sit and watch ESPN and keep up with this, you know, as far as that goes. But, you know, look on the Internet. You know, you can get on whatever sports website and click on each specific team and look at their injury reports. And you can do that the day before. It's not difficult.
Again, just do a little research. Don't stop and buy your magazine on your way to your draft before, so you can get hammered before the sixth round.
Unless you don't care about donating money to these other clowns that will gladly put it in their pocket.
Yeah, here's what I think about. Would you just hand an a-hole like me $100 willy-nilly? That's what you're doing when you – it doesn't take much. Like I said, you don't have to be – as psychotic about it as we are. Look, we're losers, all right? Let's just throw it out there right now. But spend a little time. I get frustrated. I start stuttering here when I talk about this. It aggravates me, these guys, because you always have two or three of these guys in your league year after year, and I'd like to play in a league where everybody takes it seriously. Thank you. Ooh.
And we're done. Okay, we can't toot our own horn on this segment here, I'm telling you. We're moving up to number nine.
Number nine.
And we are at Thou Shalt Adjust Your Lineup Every Week.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Moses, again.
Yeah.
How frustrating is it when you're in a division race with a guy, and the guy he's playing, you need him to lose, you need to win. These things are tight generally the whole way throughout the year. And some jerk has three guys on bye the week he's playing your division leader, and he doesn't change his lineup. He doesn't get on the waiver wire. He doesn't adjust his lineup. He doesn't do anything. Back to don't be that guy.
It's usually the guy that's 3-6 or 2-7. I don't care anymore. Well, why not?
Yeah.
There is nothing. I've had bad years. And there's nothing that pleases me more than smoking the guy trying to get into the playoffs.
That's what you're playing
him out.
That's what you're playing for at that point, no doubt about it. But you know, even if you're still in it, just it goes back to pay attention. Watch for the bye weeks. Pay attention to injuries. Work the waiver wire. Do whatever you have to do. Continue to set your lineup week after week. At a minimum, set your lineup. Now that doesn't mean, and I've made this decision before deliberately, where I don't have anybody I want to drop necessarily to pick somebody up. I've made that decision before. It's almost like a business decision. I don't want to drop anybody. I'll leave a spot, especially a kicker, a defense spot. I don't mind taking the donut on every now and again. But you'll see, guys, especially now that the bye weeks seem to go from about week 3 to week 17, they never end. There's bye weeks every week now.
Yeah, it's hideous.
You got to work that. You got to factor that in. I don't generally factor the bye weeks into my draft strategy, but be prepared. Set your lineup.
And the way that they're stretched out now, it shouldn't actually affect you that badly.
Not when they used to squeeze them into 4 weeks and you could have your whole squad right on bye.
And if I've got Robbie Gould as my kicker, I'm probably going to just dump him.
Just dump him and pick up another kicker.
I don't care. I mean, you know, it's not going to be that big of a deal, and you'll find another kicker where some offense is scoring points, you know, in the next week or something.
Yeah,
who cares?
No doubt about it. So I think that's a very important
one. And I think this also ties back into commandment number 6, where it says rank your players on your own and draft accordingly. That's the same way with your lineup. If you drafted, say, Matt Forte, maybe he tweaked his ankle, but he's still playing or whatever, but you just have a gut feeling for some reason Fred Jackson's going to go off, stick him in.
Yeah,
I mean,
give
him a shot. That's what you do.
Work
you know?
Your lineup. Play the game. Don't just, I don't know. I like that one. I'll get too fired up.
Exactly.
So
but pay attention and be involved.
All right.
I guess we're done.
Here we are, the 10th and final commandment. It seems rather similar to the 9th, only it expounds upon it a little bit. All right, I'm sorry. We'll just read them
as
written.
I guess it's not the same.
Thou shalt finish thy season. Amen. Hallelujah. How you sort of alluded to it in the last one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Jeez. But yeah, you alluded to it in the last one. You get that. I've seen it happen. The guy's out of playoff contention halfway through the season and just gives up, quits setting his lineup. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your opponents more than anything else. You owe it to all the guys in your league to continue to trade. Even if you stink, if you could dummy into one, you could change the whole course of the season for 3 or 4 different guys. Finish your season no matter what.
Exactly. And if you are happen to be a commissioner of a league, that's one thing that you guard against in a league. You make sure you block any of these trades where somebody that's 2-9 or whatever and out of it and starts dumping, all of a sudden he wants to trade, you know, Tom Brady for Jonathan Stewart or something like that. Yeah, you don't let trades like that go by because you know what's happening.
Maybe that should be the commandment. If there was commissioner commandments, you also have it. I'm not telling you how to do your job. I'm just throwing it out there.
So you got anybody else?
Oh, yes, we do.
All right.
Yes, we do. We have
any more angry women I get to deal with this week?
No angry women.
What was that broad's name last week who I hate?
It
doesn't matter.
We're going.
I thought for sure the National Organization of Women would have sent me a letter at this point at show@asylumfantasyfootball.com. And hold on, I can tell you what the letter's going to say already. To that I say, shut up. I'm sorry, moving on.
Yeah, we are moving on to email number 3.
Email number 3.
Now, this is from Sam.
Oh,
in
same.
Lake City.
Where's Lake City?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's probably many, but if it's in Florida, I used to live there.
Where the hell didn't you live? Why did you live in Lake City, Florida?
I went to college.
Did you like travel with the Grateful Dead or something?
If you would let me talk.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dad.
I went to college the first time in Lake City, Florida. And it was a small town at the time. In fact, you know, okay, here's another little story. You know, we talk about some of the things. You know who I, two people actually, that I met in Lake City, Florida.
Okay.
One I actually drank beer with, and the other one I just talked to briefly about becoming a roadie. I'm serious.
That would be so perfect. You look like a roadie.
It was Charlie Daniels.
You drank with Charlie Daniels?
No.
Oh, you were going to be his roadie.
And it was just a brief conversation. And
why didn't you become Charlie Daniels' roadie? What happened there?
It was just kind of a fluke thing. I was driving by a truck stop. And
happens at a truck stop.
Interstate 75 went through on the one upper side of Lake City, which was very small back in those days. And
the 40s?
I saw these semis and travel trailers, you know, sitting there, had the Charlie Daniels band written on it. I said, well, that's cool. You know, maybe, you know, I just went in to see about, you know, becoming a roadie, what that was about.
Because, you know, at young age, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities. So I go in there, and lo and behold, there he is sitting there.
And eating country fried steak, I'm assuming.
I don't know what it was, but from the buffet. I mean, he's just a normal guy, you know.
That's not true. He's Charlie Daniel.
Well, you know, it's a figure speech, okay? We're boring listeners, and you won't let me get the story.
I'm sorry, yeah, spit it out, because okay. I think everybody's tuned us out right
yeah.
now.
Anyway, I'll tell you the second guy. Kenny Loggins is a guy I drank beer with.
Kenny Loggins, highway to the danger zone.
You know, yeah.
Nice.
Loggins and Messina, yes.
I wish I had any of that music up, because that would be our outro this week. But
anyway,
don't have
let's
anything.
Get to Sam in Lake City.
Sam in Lake City.
Okay, I want to offer a trade to another player in my league. I have Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan as quarterbacks.
Okay.
He has Alex Smith and Kyle Orton. I am looking for a wide receiver. He has Calvin Johnson, Steve Smith of Carolina, Jabbar Gaffney, Jordy Nelson, and Stevie Johnson. Who should I offer to get one of the big three wide receivers, Calvin, Smith, or Stevie?
You don't have anybody to get any of those guys.
He's certainly not getting Calvin Johnson.
No, not for Alex Smith or Ben Ryan.
No. He has Roethlisberger and Ryan.
Oh, Matt Ryan.
The other
right.
guy has Smith and
okay.
Orton. He's obviously
okay.
probably looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, I would think so. You're not getting Calvin Johnson. You don't have enough players on your team to make
no,
that deal.
No, just forget
deal.
That.
So number two was?
Steve Smith, and then the
Steve
other one,
Smith.
Stevie Johnson.
At this point, you're not touching Steve Smith. Nobody's going to give him up. He averages about 160 yards a game at this point.
Roethlisberger's stock is on the rise. However, you know, I mean, Stevie Johnson, I don't know if I'd want to give up Roethlisberger for him.
No.
Maybe Ryan, I would not
I don't
hesitate.
Think that guy's going to make that deal either. You know, he's too good. I'll tell you the name you said on there that sort of perked my ears up if you're trying to make a more of a low-level deal. I would give up Matt Ryan if I had Roethlisberger, and assuming he can stay healthy, and I don't know how bad your receiving core is, I'd consider giving up Roethlisberger for Jordy Nelson right now.
That's
maybe
exactly
try
what
to get,
I was thinking,
try
too.
To get something back in that deal.
I wish,
you know,
Sam would I wish Sam would let us know who his wide receivers were.
Yeah.
Because then you could have, like, a starting point. Maybe you could have, you know, throw in a Matt Ryan and some
yeah.
bum that you got on your team.
Yeah, it wouldn't even have to be a bum. Maybe you have some running back depth or something. If you want to go after, you're not getting Calvin. I think you're going to have to really throw in, along with one of those quarterbacks, a low-end one, high-end two running back, receiver sort of deal. I don't think I'd be willing to move receivers for receivers. That core's too good.
I mean, you may get...
On a one-on-one, the only deal you're making, Roethlisberger for Nelson. I'll tell you what, I don't hate that. I'd make that deal. Jordy Nelson, it's sort of like the old...
For Matt Ryan.
Maybe Matt Ryan for Jordy Nelson. One or the other. I'd make either one of those deals.
I would,
probably more likely Ryan. You're
I don't think
right.
I'd give up Roethlisberger for Nelson. Johnson, definitely, but I don't know if the guy would or not. But definitely Matt Ryan for Jordy Nelson. That's
yeah, but that'd be a good starting point if you just need some receiver depth. If you want one of those big guys, you're going to have to dig a lot deeper than that. I don't see that guy. I wouldn't even consider a deal like Calvin Johnson. Maybe Adrian Peterson, you know, that's the level of guy you're going to have to give up to get back at Calvin Johnson. That's just not going to happen.
Now, you're talking about a guy who's got 9 receptions.
You know, there's an interesting question.
Yeah. That's just not going to happen.
We talked about the freakish rise that Aaron Rodgers is on. Would you trade Aaron Rodgers one-on-one heads up for Calvin Johnson? I think that's the level of trade you're talking there.
Yeah, they definitely.
I might make that deal, but you know, certainly not for Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger. So if those are the only guys you can afford to part with, go after Jordy Nelson. I think he'll be. You know, obviously he won't put up. I think he'll put up comparable numbers over the long haul to a Stevie Johnson. You know, Johnson's just playing too well right now, I think, to wrestle him away from somebody. Try it. You know, that'd be where I'd start,
yeah.
But be willing to go down to it. But don't even ask for Steve Smith or Calvin Johnson.
And I think
you'll
Stevie Johnson
laughed out of it.
I think Stevie Johnson's stock's on the rise a little bit with Donald Jones out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it hurts him too. You just never know with that guy on the other side going out. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it hurts or helps, but, I think Jordy Nelson's the guy you're going to have to focus on.
Yeah, maybe throw out Roethlisberger for for Stevie Johnson, see if he bites. If he doesn't, be willing to throw out Matt Ryan for Jordy Nelson and see if you can get a deal done there. So,
hey, I can't believe we agreed three times.
All three
in a row.
Times. Yeah, this show kind of sucked. That's no good. We had nothing to yell. We yelled at each other plenty, but not about that. We found out you were on Charlie Daniels' tour bus. You were going to be a roadie.
No, I wasn't on his tour
and
bus.
What'd you do with Kenny Logg? You got drunk with Kenny Logg.
No, I didn't get drunk with him.
You lived a hell of a life, man. I'll tell you what.
That's why I look like
now,
I do.
And now you're sitting in my basement doing a podcast. My, how the mighty have fallen.
That's it for this episode of Point Blank Best of Edition. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be looking to do this more and more in the future. Hey, like we talked about last week, we are coming up on our 200th episode, believe it or not. So looking forward, we're going to go ahead and pull that curtain back. It's going to be Ask Fleeger and Briggs Anything. Anything you've wondered about the background of the show, we're going to tell some stories of... there's been some wild times trying to get this show on the air and people we've met, and we want to give you guys the opportunity to participate in that show. So AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com, @AsylumFootball on Twitter. Get those questions in. Anything you've ever wondered about, now's the time to ask. We'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, no Rick. You know what that means. Fallout Boy. We'll see you.